Lip smacking good.
Hi, everybody out there in the Blackout Hootis Premium Land. This is another episode of Lip Smacking Good. Well, the motto of this show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. And I have somebody who I think is going to be a lots of fun for you guys. I bought on the one, the only. He's a great follower on Twitter. Sarome Russell. Tell him all about you, sweetie, and how to get in contact with you on social media.
Okay. Let's see. I am on Christian Mingle at thehammerofgod.com. No, I'm not. I am not. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Sarome Russell. It sounds misspelled already, but this is how you spell it. It is C-E-R-R-O-M-E. R-U-S-S-E-L-L, all one word. Don't follow my Instagram because I don't really deal with lotion too heavy, so that's not worth it. I think that's about it. Unless you're booking me for a show, then you can hit me up at Gmail, same name, SarongMuscle@gmail.com. Please do not send me anything I don't want to see.
Yeah.
I don't need to get no deeper than that.
So no dick pics, none of those.
No,
okay.
I swear to God, if somebody sends me a gif of a penis doing a helicopter, I will go and take out another student loan to go to IT Tech to find out how to find you through your IP address, and murdering will occur. That's how serious I am about that.
And for those of you that don't know, Sarome Russell is a part of a collective group called the Decepticomics. And
yes.
They travel all around. And one of the members of Decepticomics, you also do a podcast called The Bad Advice Show.
Yes. Me and my Decepticomic cohort, Gordon Bakerbone, we started up a podcast a couple of months ago, just influenced by you and Rod, and okay. Just wanted to get some more quality foolishness out there in the world. So, you know, y'all the godfathers of black podcasting. So we gotta pay homage to y'all. Thank y'all for hipping us to the game. Thank y'all for having us on so much. Like, y'all don't understand how many people found out about who the Decepticons were or who we was as comedians, and then that allowed us to, you know, sell some tickets and make some more people laugh and be able to travel, you know, travel across the country doing shows without necessarily being famous or, you know, or anything like that. So y'all, you know, the underground is king, and y'all helped us. I'm going to start. Y'all are, you and Rod are at the beginning of the Underground Railroad. Y'all pass our juice and say, go on your way.
we get you started. We're like, here's enough supplies to get you to your next destination.
Yeah. Y'all come up from behind an oak tree and said, north is this way, and then you give us some Tahitian treat and tell us to get on down the path.
And be safe, yes. And don't let Master catch
us. Y'all don't walk with us. No. Yeah, don't let Master catch us. We ain't coming with you. We got a podcast over here behind this tree, but I'm excited to be here on the show, so I'm excited to talk to you. One-on-one, lip smacking. I caught a couple, you know, and I like it. Definitely like food, so I'm ready to talk.
Yes, and I wanted to ask you about that. What kind of, as a child, were you raised down south, like down here with
yes.
us? Okay, and what part, what state?
Okay, I was born in southwest Georgia and Sumter County outside of a little town called Americus, Georgia. And a lot of people, when I say where I'm from, they think I said America, and they like, everybody's from America, stupid. But it's not. It's Americus. I just can't talk. So I grew up out there on no shit, a pig farm. So I grew up on plenty of good deep-fried Southern food.
Ah, so you say you grew up farm. Did you have to do stuff like a lot of my family had to, like, shuck the corn and pick the cotton
yes.
and all that type of stuff? Did you ever have to kill any animals?
Yes. I've learned the hard way not to get too attached to farm animals because they are all food. They are not pets. We had a hog farm, and, you know, one summer, a pretty lonely summer, in like the sixth grade, and had no friends, but I made a connection with this big male hog called John Henry. He was the biggest one out there. He made 400 pounds.
Wow.
He was the only pig that would let me pet him, so I felt like God had sent me the friend in the form of swine. Little did I know, John was that big because his ass was on the menu for the 4th of July.
Oh.
It was a bittersweet 3 months that I had with him, and that shit ended horribly. It wasn't even, you know, I woke up one day and he was gone. What happened was, you know, down south, if they're going to do a barbecue, they go all out for the 4th. They're going to build a fire pit. It's an all-day affair. Folks are getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, sitting the blocks, chopping up wood, all kinds of stuff. You know, it's an all-day thing. So it comes time to, you know, go get the meat. We don't go to the store since we are the store. And my granddaddy said, Ron, do not come around this corner. And that's like the most prophetic thing a countryman can say to you.
You better
no matter the situation. If a countryman tell you, don't come around this corner, I guarantee you there's something terrible around that corner. Don't come around there. But I did it anyway, and I came around, and John Henry was in this special little pen by himself. I was like, why he? I told you not to come around here. And my uncle, who was on his 4th or 5th beer, shot John Henry right at that moment. It was like a terrible Lifetime movie. But because he was drunk, he missed. It wasn't a kill shot. He just hurt him real bad. So there was a lot of pig screaming. If you never heard a pig scream, that shit'll haunt your dream.
Oh.
And then it just got worse from there. Like, this is my best friend. Now he's bleeding. And my granddad's like, God damn it, I told you shoot him in the head. But the gun jammed after that. So my granddad took a 3-pound sledgehammer and finished the job. And it's pretty much set me down set me down the path to be a comedian because my mind was gone after that. That was fucked up. There's no way I was going to work a regular job after that.
That's Lifetime damage. Did your grandfather cook?
Yeah, he was the grill master. My grandma was in charge of the kitchen and he was in charge of the grill outside. So he was big. He was big on that. Didn't pass down any secrets. The only thing I learned was to go get supplies and to stay away from the hot ass spoon in case I get smacked. Like the spatula was dangerous.
What did your grandmama cook?
Alright, grandma, standard country food, delicious but also deadly.
Yes,
I love my grandma, but I'm pretty sure she is the reason all of us check out of here around our 73rd birthday. I love her to death.
Right.
But you know how I go. My grandma thought that lard was the lubricant to happiness, and that's what she cooked all her food in. So one of her best dishes was something that I'll eat this any time of day. It's the dressing she cooked for Thanksgiving, but I'll eat this any time of day, and that's all day thing, too. She wake up in the morning on some old sharecropper shit and make a pan of cornbread as big as a damn kitchen table. And then that get cut up, and then there's some mysterious, you know, hoodoo or voodoo or root shit going on in the pot that I can't see over her shoulder. And by the time everything get mixed up and go in the oven and come out, all your worries just fall away. Your first bite on that dressing, that's it for you. I can sit there and eat a whole plate of that right now.
Are your grandparents still alive?
My grandma's still with us. My granddaddy, of course, he was. You know, grandma got him up out of here with the meat. My grandma's still with us. My grandma's still with us. Still cooking in her early 80s now. Still cooking.
Wow.
Will not sit down.
Wow.
Will not sit down. Still cooking.
You know, that sounds like about like my mama. She's in her 70s. And the only reason why she doesn't, like, cook the big meals like she used to is because she physically can't. If she could.
She tried. She would try.
And she gets angry. Because she can't.
It's them seats. It's the only thing keeping my grandma from, that's the only thing got her out of the church cooking business is them seats. She's like, I can't eat my bunions. I cannot stand up all day over this damn stove. So, the funniest thing I've ever seen was her turning bacon over with the longest damn spatula I've ever seen in my damn life. My uncle had duct taped a little bamboo stick to a spatula. She was flipping the bacon with this shit from about 2 feet away.
She wasn't trying to get burnt.
Nah, well, her feet was hurting. She's like, I got to sit out. I can't let the bacon burn.
I got to flip it, and we're going to figure something out over here.
We're going to figure something out. She got some ingenuity. Came on through then.
Your mother and father, did they cook?
My father, he cooked crack. I think he used... he cooked crack. Apparently his recipe was very delicious.
Number one seller.
I think he might have used cumin in his. I don't know.
A little paprika.
Yeah, his family might have been from the islands. He did some jerk crack, and the block was pumping that day.
He was selling out. Selling crack by the plate.
Hell yeah, he had them jerk crack patties. They was coming around to get them. my mama could cook when she wants to. I think her best dish might be, I think all black mamas do this. For some reason, black mamas can either cook 1 cup of macaroni and cheese or 17 pounds at one time. There's no in between on the
chicken. No. It's either for one or for 55.
That's it. They can do that one pot on the top of the stove, or they can do that big silver tray in the oven, and that's all. She cannot cook for 4 people. It's either one or 55 people. Never no in between.
You have a sister, am I correct?
Yeah, I have a couple of sisters. I have a bunch of sisters.
Okay, any of them cook?
Yeah, all of them actually picked up to be pretty good cooks. I would say which one is the best, but I don't want no trouble. The one with the most kids cooks the quickest out of anybody I've ever seen in my life. Like, she really will whip up.
30 minutes
no
or less.
Her and her husband got 6 kids. They have no trouble with the cook fast. She was doing that 30-minute meal shit before Rachel Ray even thought about it.
Ooh, 6 kids. Oh, my.
Yeah, they got 6 kids together. You don't have an hour of free time when you got 6 kids. She got to do 30 minutes or less, or else they'll be on burnt the damn house down because you got to watch them.
Yeah, you all talking about small children. Have you ever tried your hands at cooking?
Have I tried my hand at cooking?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a box follower. I can follow any box. And then I will say this. When I do cook, I'm just grabbing random shit out of the spice cabinet. Whatever smells good, I'm throwing it on this. I ain't never cooked the same meal twice. Not because I'm innovative, but just because I don't remember what the hell I did the time before.
Don't.
I can throw down on some Jesus fish. Catfish, I think, is just in your Georgia DNA. If you don't, I think that's like part of like our Spartan ritual. If you can't fry catfish by the time you're 3, we will make your ass move to Alabama. There's no way around that.
I love catfish, too. Catfish is my thing.
My God. I'm in a catfish-free zone. I'm so upset up here.
Oh, Lord.
I'm in a predominantly white area in North Virginia, and there's no catfish to be found. I'm always at the Whole Foods just spinning around in the damn circle because I don't want any more damn whiting or
flounder,
mahi, flounder, sole. None of that shit will fry up good. I've tried all of it.
Salmon, yeah, a lot of that fish you kind of have to bake or use other methods to it. I mean, they're good, but I feel it ain't like that.
Nah, I fucked up $7-$8 worth of salmon steaks trying to deep fry them. They just don't they don't work like that.
Oh no! You have to bake it, saute it,
broil
it.
Yep, all that shit. I'm in Whole Foods, so the damn cornmeal was $19 because some white virgin in Oregon ground the shit with her own hands. I don't know what the hell happened.
What's the difference between the food that you grew up with and, like, where you are now? I know you was talking about, like, the Whole Foods, but, like, when you go out to eat and things like that, the environment, what's the biggest difference, can you tell?
I think the biggest difference is I say the good and the bad. The good is variety. So, being that I'm in the D.C. area, it's a lot of different cultures around here, so I can always go somewhere and find somebody I've never tried before, like, real Mexican food, real, real Ethiopian food, real Indian food, real Chinese, just authentic stuff you never would have. And there's a lot of people from the Caribbean here, so I think the variety is the best thing about it. And I think the bad is just the you know, it ain't as many soul food restaurants around here as I thought it was going to be. So it's hard to find home cooking around here.
That's true. Do they got grits? That's my biggest question.
No. Mm. I ain't found grits nowhere.
You got no grits? You know what?
That's why I don't wake up before 9, because I'm going to just be mad.
You know, I really do think that when it comes to grits, it is a regional thing. I usually didn't believe that, but I do believe that. Like, once you start going certain places up north, unless it's like a Cracker Barrel or something like that, they're not going to have grits on the menu. And
no.
How about sweet tea? Is that common or no?
That's common. I will say that they haven't messed it up. I did live in the Midwest for one time, and it's not big out there. When you ask for sweet tea, it's by default unsweetened. I have caused quite a few scenes for no reason about sweet tea, unsweetened, because I don't think anything offends somebody that's used to sweet tea more than unsweetened tea. Like, you really act like somebody tried you.
Right.
Really. Once that first sip, you're like, oh, okay, so I'm just a bitch. That's what you're saying to me.
Right. You start turning over tables and smacking napkins. Go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. You are upset, man. That taste is shocking when you grew up your whole life with that. But we do have sweet tea here in Virginia. I think once you get... we have to put a map for Southern people. We have to put a map for the Eastern United States and like mark it out on 95 North and tell you where the last exit is for grits, the last exit for sweet tea, and the last exit for catfish. That way, you know, you don't get out there and be in New Jersey looking for catfish and just be upset.
And get the shock up. But I have a question about the tea. When you were saying that you were out west, do they brew their tea? Because I know some places you say tea, they want to give you instant tea. It's not the same as brewed tea.
No, it's not the same at all. That's real. When somebody hands you instant, unsweetened tea, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, you look at them like they'll spit at your mama. You like, what?
What are you doing? Because my grandma still do. Like, my grandma... She understands technology has moved on, but it's still 1943 in her head, so she still do sun tea. She still do the big glass jar on the front porch in the morning, and so that it's ready by 5 o'clock or whenever we're gonna eat dinner. So she still do it the old fashioned way. So
right, and there's nothing like sun tea. For those of you that don't know this, one of my aunts did this before. I've never seen it before. Until I see one of my aunts do it, they actually take like the tea bags and put it in water and put it outside and let the sun brew it per se.
Yeah.
And that's some of the best tea because it's like a slow process. So it's really, really concentrated
but it's not bitter because hot water sometimes, like pouring boiling water over tea like that, sometimes will either scorch it or you just, you know, the prepackaged tea just don't deal well with them high temperatures or that shock, but that sun tea is just—it's like a crock pot for tea on the front porch. It's,
right,
can't beat it.
It is, and when you travel with the Decepticomics and y'all go out to all these places to eat, what type of places do y'all eat at? Is it like fast food or?
Oh yeah, I will. I gotta be honest. That's like one of the sad hidden truths of being a comedian, especially a road comedian. We eat like trash on the road. Because it's usually, you know, we're performing late at night, so everything's closed. The only thing that's open is disgusting as McDonald's or Taco Bell or something like that. Or we in a casino or we in a bar and we don't get the best of food. So, like, if y'all see us tweeting that we're coming to do a show in y'all city, just tell us where the best place to eat is because we don't waste it. So much money.
Because
bad food.
Because if you're not familiar with the town or the area and things like that, and it's just one of those things where, whenever we go to places and I know somebody in the area, I normally be like, hey, what are the best places to eat here?
Yes.
And because they know, and like when we went to Charleston, Adidra, Miss Music Lover, she's on Where's My 40 Acres, and she used to live in Charleston. So I was like, hey, and she gave me a list of restaurants and everything she suggested was just wonderful. So I suggest, like, if you're traveling, and fans out there, if y'all see him coming to y'all town, y'all tweet him and Facebook him and let him know where the places are so that y'all can lead them in the right direction. Yeah, they can eat good food.
Share, because that's you know, good or bad food can make or break a vacation.
Yeah.
And it leaves, like, if no pun intended, it really do leave a bad taste in your mouth. If you go somewhere and have bad food, that's what you're going to remember about that city for the rest of your life. Like,
Right.
It could have been just one bad sandwich, and you like, you know what? Little Rock, Arkansas can kiss my ass.
Right. I'm never coming back to this sandwichless place again.
Ever again.
Right.
And at the same time, it could be the, it could also, it can be a terrible city otherwise to visit, but if they got good food, you're like, if you're a road tripper like me, you'll stop at that same place every time you come through there. Cause there's a barbecue place in Arkansas that I'm almost sure that the wait staff is racist as hell. I do not care. I will stop and get that pulled pork sandwich every time.
Because
every time.
It'll make you overlook racism. That's some serious food.
That's the, man, it's so tender. The racism fall right off the bone.
That's how you know it's good. I know you were saying that you cook. What inspires you to cook your food? Like, when you do get in the mood to cook, do you be like, fuck it, this is what's in the fridge? Or do you think about it? Like,
I cook out of fear because I look directly in my wife's eyes. And if she looks like if somebody else asks me to cook again, it's going to be some trouble in here. Sometimes I'll see something interesting either in a book or I just have a taste of something. And that's what, you know, I want to put her out for. So I walk through. I'm terrible about doing last minute meals and spending a whole bunch of money at the grocery store and coming back to cook it because I think of something that nobody keeps in their damn house, like duck ass or something like that. And I got to go get 2 pounds of duck ass and go fry that up.
It'd be $9.99 a pound.
Hell yeah, because they know you the last minute thing. Like, oh, you want the duck ass. Let me go in the back and go get it.
Yeah, don't nobody ever buy this shit. I'm surprised he didn't even know what it is.
Let me check the date on this shit. They don't tell how long this duck been in here.
It might be those spoiled. What is the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
Most unique thing I've ever eaten before. Well, I travel a lot for comedy and travel a lot for military too. So what's the most unique? I don't think the food itself was unique, just the presentation. Like, I traveled to Jamaica, and that was the first time I ate a fish with the head still on it, and the fish was looking back at me while I was devouring his body, and that threw me off a little bit. But that fish was good as hell. He watched me. I felt guilty, so I put a napkin over the eye. But it was good.
Do you remember what type of fish it was?
Yeah. Saltfish and ackee. That was it was just different to me. I hadn't been out of Georgia before then, so that, German food don't get a lot of press, but like, if anybody can, nobody does oppression and sausage better than the Germans, because that shit is, oppression, beer, and sausage, they got that on lock. I sat in the beer garden or beer house over there and ate, it's a table full of just different kinds of beers and sausages and breads. And that was wonderful. That's something I ate over there. Just they had a bakery, and their bakery started, like, you don't find those anymore, but they started cooking at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So we would just be coming out of the bar at like 5, and you smell, I don't know what it is about being drunk, but freshly baked bread is the best smell in the world. So we walk over there, stumble in, throw some money on the counter, and walk out with a whole loaf of pumpernickel and just be stumbling down the road, eat directly off the loaf.
That sounds like that was fun. Did you get sausage too? Or just like,
just walk around like some shit out of Oliver Twist. Then I have some more, sir. Just walk around with a big ass loaf of bread and a little cup of whipped butter and just enjoying life.
Ooh, whipped butter. Oh, that sounds like that's everything. I know you have small children. Do you take them to food festivals? Like, what food festivals have you been to or are you looking forward to?
They do, like, a little small thing here in Nova Virginia called, like, the Taste of Nova or Taste of Wrestling or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, they kind of picky eaters, but we have got them to try new stuff. Especially, they'll try any kind of new dessert. But new, if it ain't in a chicken finger form, they looking at the meat like, I don't know about this
chicken
shit.
Chicken finger form?
But they have. But me and my wife love to try new stuff like that. So we get around here, and that's one thing I will say. This area where we up here in D.C., in the D.C. Baltimore area, they got some of the best seafood you ever want to have as far as, like, crabs, crab cakes, okay. just and mussels and shrimp and stuff like that. So that's one thing that's good around here.
Ooh, what is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
that I don't make. Let's see, favorite thing to eat that I don't make. Let's see. I have no idea how cheesecake is made. I understand there's cheese and cake inside of it. Don't think I can figure it out. But that's one of my favorite desserts to eat as far as like food, brown stew chicken, Jamaican dish. Ooh, I like that. Don't know how to make it.
That sounds wonderful.
It takes about 4 days to cook, but once it come out of there,
it's probably everything. It's good. If it takes 4 days to cook, woo, I bet you that's probably
everything. Ooh. Everything, you know, they have, it's 2 days of just prepping the chicken to die. They talk to him and make sure he's comfortable and, you know, he's okay with his fate and he don't die scared and tense up all the meat. And then he walked right on over to the chopping block and he's happy. He's just up to his fate.
Oh, well, at least he knows he's going to be in a good meal. Yeah, because a happy chicken is a tasty chicken.
Yes, it is. That chicken was okay with it. He died happy. You can taste it.
What is your favorite thing to eat that you make? Because I know you say you do a little bit of cooking. What is that meal that you made? You go, this is just everything to me.
It's probably that catfish and hush puppies.
Oh.
Catfish and hush puppies. Because, like I said, my grandma and granddad, they ain't passed no secrets. But from what I could see over their shoulder, I make sure to throw some extra stuff in the hush puppies, like onions and little bits of cheese and stuff like that. And so the catfish and the hush puppies, that's the best thing I can make for myself. I don't like sharing with the kids, so I don't cook it. I try to cook it when they're at the house.
Right, because you know how little kids, they crumb snatches. You cook it,
yes,
they're going to get some.
Yes, they are. You wouldn't think that somebody that weighs 40 pounds could eat 17 hush puppies, but you look around and they are gone.
And you like, how the hell did you do this?
Right, I'm trying, looking at you. Where did you put it?
It's not on their waistline. You go, I'm old, because if I eat 17 hush puppies, you'd be picking me. I'd be going to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to call the EMTs. I am not moving from this table, not under my own power.
What is your favorite food that you stash from, like, your kids, your wife? You go, this is my food, and I'm not sharing it with nobody.
Let me see, what do I hide? I'm good at hiding those Pepperidge Farm Milano cookies.
Ooh.
I'm good at hiding those.
Yes.
They got some that's the double stuff, dark chocolate ones. I'm good at hiding. That's why I'm so happy I'm 6'2". I can put stuff up high.
Can't nobody
see it but me.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing about being tall.
I hide them cookies and I won't go get them in front of nobody. That's like the bat cave. I done cut a hole in the drywall. And you got to be able to bench press as much as me to open that gate, so that way y'all can't get up there and still get in. So that's what I hide. I hide those cookies.
What is your favorite thing to drink? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic or both?
Both. Let's see. Alcoholic. I think I'm the last person. I'm the last person under 60 years old that still drink Paul Masson brandy. I don't know if it's the life of poverty that got me drinking it, but I think I like that. I like that more than anything. You can't drink it straight because you got to mix that with sadness or something. You don't drink that shit straight.
One of our fans drink it, and she drinks it straight. I can't. Her name is Chill. I don't know how Chill does. She drinks it on ice. I can't.
Oh,
do
my
that.
God. Mm-mm. Oh, that shit is half kerosene and half brandy. I need to look out for her. They might have to replace her whole soap one day.
Oh, that's the birds going down. I was trying some. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you.
No.
I like to breathe.
I think my favorite non-alcoholic drink is coffee. The older I get, I think I'm becoming, let's see, more adventurous with coffee and wanting to drink better coffee, because I grew up with my grandma and granddaddy. They drank probably the worst coffee ever made. You remember Sanka, freeze-dried Sanka?
Mm-hmm. That's old school. I don't even know if they make that anymore.
I don't even know if it's legal to sell anymore, but...
It might not be. I don't even know where to buy it.
They drank it out of one cup because that shit turned every cup a deep, dark,
black,
sad brown.
Right.
Yeah, that shit left a ring around it. You think you left that coffee in there all year? No, that's one sitting. But now me and my wife got into the French press. I don't know what it is about French press coffee. It's like, I don't know if it's the work involved or whatever, but it's like some of the best tasting coffee you've ever had.
So you buy the beans?
Yeah, buy the beans and grind them. You got to get fancy with it.
You know what? When you get old, you get sophisticated.
You really do. You want to try new stuff. Other than the cheap liquor, everything else I'm trying to, I'm like, you know, especially when it's your money, you're like, right. Wait, I don't have to buy the shit that and choke it down. I can get some good stuff.
Right, because it's my money. This is the last question. What is the worst thing you've ever ate or cooked, or both?
The worst thing I've ever cooked. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was like when I was, you know, first, you know, newly married, trying to impress and trying to cook for the kids at the same time. And I did this for real. I have no idea why I did. I was real at the time. So I thought for some reason that I could make a crispy Hot Pocket pan frying it. I cooked it in the microwave for a little bit. I said, I don't want to overcook it. I'm going to put it in a little oil, and I was going to fry it hard like a tortilla or something like that. And that, I have never caught so many dirty looks from a woman in my life.
No, because did you put that in the freezer frozen, or did you let it thaw out first?
No, I put it, you know, I cooked it halfway in the microwave. It was still cold in the middle. And I fried that damn Hot Pocket hard on both sides. And that, oh, my God.
I know she looked at you like, nigga, you wasting money.
Yeah. And like, the dead ass just asked me one single question. Cut into it with the fork. She's like, is this a Hot Pocket? And I just put my head down. That's all I could do. That's all I could do.
That's what you cook. What's the worst thing you ever ate that somebody else prepared for you?
Oh, let's see. What's the worst thing I ever ate somebody prepared for me? I don't even know. It didn't taste bad. It was just a surprise. Like, somebody made me, or I had a piece of rum cake and had never had it before and didn't realize that was literal. Like, that it's literally rum.
Right. It's
in
alcohol.
This cake.
And you will taste it if it's done right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ate, like, I probably don't, like, it was, and it was good. I had little pieces of chocolate and raisins and stuff. I'm digging on this. I'm like three or four pieces. I don't realize I get up from the table to leave.
Right.
I don't realize I don't have about 9 shots of rum. I stood up, I'm like, I am drunk off cake and fell. So that was the most surprising thing I've ever ate in my life. I ain't never been drunk off cake before.
And it's delicious because from what I hear, if it's done right, they actually cook and they actually let the cake soak in alcohol for days. The longer you let it soak, more it soaks up the alcohol.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. This was a sneaky, older Jamaican lady snuck that rum cake in there and almost killed all of us.
Also, other people weren't prepared either for what was going getting ready to happen.
No, this was a work thing, a potluck thing. She snuck a rum cake in there, and now nobody can't get nothing done for the afternoon because everybody in here drunk.
Did they have to pass a rule going no rum cake?
Oh yeah, there was no rum cake to the next potluck at all.
You can't function like that. No way you're going to be productive.
Hell no, man. We was laughing so hard after the potluck was over. We, you know, like, why are we so happy at work? And everybody was like, I think I'm drunk. He was like, you too? And we just, all of us were surprised.
That was a shocker for everybody.
Everybody.
Jerome, I want to tell you thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank y'all.
But before you leave, tell everybody how to reach you again.
Okay. Once again, you can hit me up on Twitter. My handle is Jerome Russell. That's all one word, CerromeRussell. Look for the Decepticomics hashtag on Twitter to keep up with us for our shows. What we got in the works now is trying to get to Charlotte and Atlanta in one weekend. That's my goal for this fall.
Let us know. You know. We'll come and support you.
You know I'm trying to see y'all. Mm-hmm.
We will. Let us know. We'll get tickets. We'll come support. We'll drum it up. We'll tell our fans to just wherever you are to just come and represent in Charlotte and Atlanta. If you know fans out there listening now, we'll be in Charlotte. I don't know if we'll go to Atlanta or not, but we'll be in Charlotte. So I think that'll be fun because you are one of the few people that I would love to see live. I've never seen you live. And every time you go somewhere after a show, my timeline fills up with everybody that said they had such a good time. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. Let us know in advance, Serome, and we will let our fan base know.
I definitely will. And all five of us, we live for that. We live to go somewhere and crush the show, because that's the most important thing. It ain't about, getting any kind of fame or get rich or anything. We all love, genuinely love to go somewhere and kill and crush on stage. And we get a whole bunch out of that. And we can't thank the people that's been supporting us for these 3 years enough, man, because they made it possible.
Yeah, we want to just tell you thank you, because being a comedian, that's a job and a half, and making people laugh is, you have to have a special talent, because the world is just a place of desperation. So you need somewhere to go and laugh. So from us to you, just thank you. And it means the world. And we will support you. We will continue to support you. And also, fans out there, let you know, he also does a comedy podcast called Bad Advice, and it's on the Close Leather Podcast Network.
Yes. Please check that out. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sweetie. For those of you out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Land, this has been another episode of Lip Smacking Good. And until next time, y'all have a good one. Bye.